I want to just turn to a scripture this evening from the book of John's Gospel. Well, I have the New American Standard Version, so I'm going to read one verse from where I'm going to say to you or speak with you or share with you whatever God has laid in my heart. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 42. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter, which further when translated is a rock. Praise God. I love this particular scripture when I read it over and over. Because this in this particular verse from 35 to 42, I see a great transformation taking place in two men, especially. And two of them were brothers. First one was Andrew. And if you will read in this chapter, the next day John was there again and with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now, John the Baptist had already baptized Jesus. And he knew who Jesus was to be, the Lamb of God. And not more than that. But the next day after the baptism, the next day, John the Baptist and two of other his disciples were standing and just talking, or probably, I don't know, they were probably having a conversation in the marketplace or whichever place it was. And while they were standing there and talking to each other, they saw Jesus passing by. And John the Baptist recognized that Jesus was passing by. And immediately he looked at his disciples, two of them, and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." I love the next verse, what happened immediately when John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Next verse says, when the two disciples heard him say this, the two disciples, followed Jesus without even getting the permission from John the Baptist, their leader, their guru. The moment they heard the Lamb of God, they immediately followed Jesus. I love that very much, because here we are from the pulpit, from Pastor Don or whoever. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and when we mention the name of Jesus, oh praise God, it is time that you do not look at man who preached about him, but just follow the man whom was announced. He just said, "Look, the Lamb of God," and the disciples did not ever hear about him before. They did not know who the Lamb of God was, what the Lamb of God was, or anything else. But they just followed him. And the Bible says, when the disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" The moment we have a little desire in our hearts to follow Jesus, I love this portion very much, because when he heard the steps of Andrew and John, he immediately looked back and saw them following, and he asked a question, "What do you want?" Oh, I have a lovely Savior. I thank Billy for the beautiful songs that he chose for the worship, as well as the old rugged cross. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? The one that we sang about is a person who is so much concerned of us. The moment that we follow after him, he looked at them and he asked, "What do you want?" He knows any time that we follow after him, that we do not just follow after him, that we are in need. Praise God. And he understands that. And so he asks him, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? They did not ask for anything, but they just wanted to know where Jesus was staying. And Jesus said, he did not give his address, but he said, come and you will see. Just come with me. And if you will walk with me, you will see the place where I am dwelling. And the next verse says, they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. Praise God. They went with him, then they went with Jesus to the place where he stayed. And then the Bible says, once they were there, they just could not leave the place. Amen. When we can be with Jesus just for a moment, look at him and just follow him. And when we go to the place where he is, boy, I tell you, it is hard to leave the place. They spent the day with Jesus. Amen. They spent the day with Jesus. And let me tell you something. Once after they spent the day with Jesus, they came back. I love the next verse also. I love all the scripture. And it says, and now Andrew. Now one of them was Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing, I like that very much again. The very first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Lamb of God. Now let me go a little further than what it is and to tell you what exactly is written. He did not say that we have found the Lamb of God. Now, John the Baptist told his disciples that this is the Lamb of God. And so they went after him and spent the whole day with him. And after spending the whole day with Jesus, Andrew comes back and tells everybody or his brother, he did not say that I have gone and I found the Lamb of God. One day in his life, praise God, when he spent the whole day with Jesus, he not only found the Lamb of God as a person who came to give salvation to the people, but when he went and spent the whole day with Jesus, he came out saying, not that we have seen the Lamb of God, but he said, we have seen the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. The more time we spend with Jesus, we come to know of his character. Hallelujah. Who he is and what he does. That's exactly what these people found. He said, we have seen, or I have seen the Messiah. What it means is that I not only have seen the Lamb of God in the place where I went to see, but when I went and spent the day with him, I saw the Messiah. What is the Messiah? He is wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the Almighty God. The Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, all put together, I have seen the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. I have seen the Messiah. And you know what happened? The moment he found the Messiah, he did not wait. He went running home. And as soon as he went home, what he said was that, the first thing, I like that, the first thing Andrew did after finding the Messiah, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Hallelujah. Anyone who finds the Messiah, I tell you, he cannot keep quiet. He will want to go and tell everyone, I have found the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. I have found the Messiah. You know, that's what I have been doing for the past 43 years. I have found the Messiah. And you know what it happens? I want to just say, I said that there is a transformation. Two transformations have taken place in that 5, 6, 7 verses. First of all, Andrew, according to tradition, now he was a younger brother of Simon. Well, according to the culture of the Jewish people, the younger one never goes and tells the older one as to what to do or what he should do, or he commands or gives counsel. And the older one, when listens to the younger one, he would say, "Hey, you shut up. I know all of these things. You be quiet. I had been here before you were born." Hallelujah. But you know, sometime, Billy was not even born when I came into the ministry. But boy, he has written a book on the Holy Spirit, which I love so much. I have translated it and preached in my own church of what he has taught here. The younger people, younger generation, when they receive the message of the Lord, they get transformed so much, they are not afraid to go and tell older people that they have found the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. It transforms them. Andrew, according to the tradition, he was a very, very quiet and shy person. He would never go and tell anybody anything. He used to be very quiet. But on this occasion, he was not quiet. The very first thing that he did was to run to his brother. And when the first thing that he saw was his oldest brother. It was not even the brothers in between. The oldest was the one he saw first. And he was not afraid of the oldest one. He said, "We have found the Messiah." Hallelujah. Anybody who has found the Messiah, they do not care as to who the next person is, whether they are high or older, highly educated, or whatever they are. The message burns within us to go and say to them, "I have found the Messiah." Hallelujah. And then what happens is that he takes him to the Lord Jesus. And you know why Peter or Simon followed Andrew? He saw Andrew, when he left the day before home, he was such a man that was so quiet. There was no happiness upon his face. He was such a shy person. Boy, today he returns home with so much of excitement. He keeps singing and dancing. He tells everyone, "Hey, I'm happy, 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 happy." He just walks around the place. So such a different man. When he said to Simon, "Come and see him," Simon had no hesitation to follow the younger brother. The reason? The younger brother's life had already been transformed. Hallelujah. He was not listening, hearing the words from Andrew. He was seeing the life that has been transformed totally. Hallelujah. When our lives are transformed. Hallelujah. When we go and tell the people about the excitement that we have, when they see the excitement, when they see the life, then they say, "Well, there is something here. I want to go see what is there." So that's exactly happened with Simon. Well, Simon came there. When Simon came, now Simon had not been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And he brought him to Jesus. That's all he did. He did not even introduce. But the Bible says, excuse me, Jesus looked at him. Now Simon has been brought there by Andrews and just left there for Jesus to take care. And Jesus looked at him and immediately said, "You are Simon, son of John." I like that verse also. He said, he looked at Simon and said, "Are you the brother of Andrew?" No, he didn't say that. He didn't even say anything about Andrew. All immediately, praise God, when he looked at Simon, he knew who Simon was. This evening as we sit inside this beautiful sanctuary at the West Orlando Assembly of God Church, I tell you something. The eyes of the Lord is upon each one of us. Every one of us. Hallelujah. Not a single person is hidden from the wonderful eyes of God. Hallelujah. He has his eyes upon each one of us. And not only has his eyes upon us, and when he looked at Simon, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." What exactly it means is that, "Hey, Simon, I'm so glad to see you here. But do you know something? I know you, and I know your father. I know your father's father. I know your father's 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 father. What I say unto you is that I know your history." Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This evening, whoever we are and whatever we are, we have a God that knows our history. Amen. Amen. Nothing is hidden before his eyes. Everything is open before him. And that is why in Psalm 139, the whole psalm, when we read it, says, "Where can I go and hide myself before your spirit? If I go to the climb to the heavens, you are there. And if I go to the depths of the sea, there you are. And if I take the wings and fly to the end of the sea, there your right hand will take hold of me. Where can I go, Lord, from your presence? I cannot go anywhere from your presence. I cannot hide myself." And so Peter to Simon, he says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." Simon, I know you. I know your father. I know everything about you. In a nutshell, I can say, Simon, I know your history. Hallelujah. And then he said, "I know the history. Your history is not a very happy one. You are Simon." Simon, the name Simon has got several meanings. And two of them I really like are, one is grass. The other one is sand. Simon, you are such just sand. I know your history. You are like grass. But then he said, "You shall not be Simon from now on. Henceforth, you shall be Cephas." What he actually was saying that, "Simon, I know your past history. And because I know your history, I have decided today that I am going to change your history." Hallelujah. "That you shall no more be called sand, but you shall be called a rock." Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And that is extraordinary thing, because you can make sand out of a rock, but you cannot make a rock out of sand. But God can, and God will. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of sand, out of grass, he made him a person who was called Cephas. He changed his name. By changing his name, he changed the life history of Simon the Peter. And I tell you, I can truthfully say, that's exactly what God did in my life. Hallelujah. I was born and brought up in a Hindu family, and very staunch, strong Hindu family. We had to do everything according to whatever our religion said. And my parents were so strict about it, and I had to live according to it. And the zealousness that I had for our own religion, and because of that, I hated Christians. I did not like the name Jesus Christ. I did not like the pastors in uniform. I did not like the people who preached about Jesus Christ. And I had a group of young men also. So whenever they preached somewhere about Jesus Christ, one pastor was preaching about Jesus Christ on the street, and I went and got him by shirt. I was just young, 17 years old. I took him by shirt and said, "Hey, we have 330 million gods in this nation. And they don't do what we want them to do. And why do you want to bring another God and a foreign God into this nation? What this one person can do to me? No, don't speak about it." And there were other times when we were They used to have outdoor meetings. I and my friends used to, not used to, just one, only one time, but firecrackers, a little small firecrackers, and tied it to the tail of a donkey. Just when the preacher started preaching, we just lit it down. And the donkey, we just sent him into the crowd. Oh, we were clapping and laughing when the crowd was dispersing, running in fear. But that is the kind of a person I was, because I was so zealous of our own religion. I never liked Christians. I hated them. But at the same time, I also was a robber and a thief. I used to go places, rob people, take money, and whatever I can, I used to do all those things. Academically, I was top in my class, always. But on the other hand, I was like a criminal. And my parents, my father used to tell me, hey, why do you live? Why can't you die? But I'm glad that I did not die, because I did not know how to die at that time. Had I known how to die, I would not be here telling you the story how the Lord Jesus Christ has transformed my life. Hallelujah. I used to go from, because of the life that I was living, I wanted to change. I did not want to be known as a robber or as a thief. Every time I saw a police officer coming, he was not coming after me. But whenever I saw a police officer, I thought I would be running. Because I knew that I was, that sin or the thing that I committed told me, my consciousness told me, you are a criminal. You are a guilty man. And so he was not looking for me, but I was running away from him, knowing that I had done something wrong. And because of that, we used to go from temple to temple, offering sacrifices, going and dipping in holy waters of several rivers. At one time, I went to a place called Parani. And the temple was very on the top of the mountain. There were 808 steps. And after walking 700 steps on foot, the last 108 steps, they asked me to walk on my knees. So I walked on my knees, 108 steps, and it started bleeding all over my knees. And I tried to wipe it off, and the priest that was coming with me said, no, don't wipe it, because you are shedding the blood for your God. Well, I went there, and they asked me to break open 108 coconuts with one hand, hit it on the rock there and break it open. So I did that for 108 coconuts with one hand. It was just hurting so much. Both my knees and my hand was hurting. And all the pujas or the worship was over. And then I came down to the place where we were staying. It was like a dormitory. Over 100 people were sleeping on the same hall. And my family was there and I was there. And while I was sleeping, all of a sudden I woke up and I saw the fourth man from me, his pockets were bulging. So I... And on that day I also decided that there is no God anymore. Because the way I climbed this mountain and broke open the coconuts and the things that I did for God, if that God was alive, he should have changed me, he should have forgiven me. Or what all he should have done, he should have done. And nothing happened. So I decided that there was no God at all. So I started walking in that way. Again persecuting the churches and Christians. And one day I was at a bus station. And at the bus station I was waiting for the bus. And there was another young man, just twice as older than I was. I was just 17, he was 34. And as we were having a conversation, all of a sudden he said that I have some pain in my chest. So I went to bring something for him to drink. And I got a cup of coffee, and when I came, by the time he was already dead. And that really had a great impact on me. It shook me, actually. And I stood there until arrangements were made for them to take the body away, and I knew that until I had to prove that I had nothing to do with that. And then I did not travel. I came home to my uncle's place. I was trying to sleep, and the whole room was filled with a lot of pictures of so many gods and goddesses and idols. And in that room, as I was lying down, trying to sleep, I could not sleep at all. When I switched off the light, immediately this man who died just a few hours ago stood before me like a big giant. And he pointed a finger to me. And that finger looked like a crowbar. And it comes right to my head. And it said, and he was saying to me, "Today I, tomorrow you. Tomorrow you." Oh, when he said that, the fear of death came upon me. I knew that I was going to be the person to die the next day. I really thought that I was going to die the next day. Because he's saying, "Today I, tomorrow you. Tomorrow you, tomorrow you." And it went on echoing in my ears, "Tomorrow you." Oh, I knew that I was going to die the next day. So as I was almost screaming in fear, "What am I going to do?" And then as I was lying down there still, three things came to my heart. First of all, my mind. One first was this dead man looking at me. The second thing came to my mind was this pastor preaching on the streets, whom that I held with his shirt. And he said, "Where will you spend your eternity if you die tonight?" I was faced with that question. Where will I spend my eternity? But whatever I had learned until that time said, my karmas will take me to Sri Vaikuntham. That is, if I did good works, I would have 7 reincarnations. Each of them could become better and better according to my works, or it could become worse. But in my own life, when I looked at my life, I thought, "Oh my, if I was going to die tomorrow, I may not be born again as a human being. It could be a dog, could be a rat, or even a cockroach. I could be anything but man." And I was so disappointed, I felt so awkward. "Oh my, is this what I have lived for?" And I was, as I was thinking like that, and then I thought of some other religions. And then I did think of Christianity also. Christianity offered hellfire for me. My goodness, what am I going to do? As it, all these things were going into my head, the other thing, the third thing came to my memory, or before me, was this same pastor standing in the street and saying, "If you will accept Jesus Christ, he will save you and he will change you." Well, save me. Salvation, I did not understand. I did not know the meaning of salvation. I did not know, understand. I did not know anything about salvation. But I did understand the meaning of change, because that is what I've been wanting all of my life. I wanted to go from temple to temple. Why? Because I wanted to have a change of life. So finally, in the same room with all those idols around, I said a small prayer like this: "Jesus, if you are the real Savior, as these people say, if you can really change my life, as these people say, I want you to change me." And then I said, "If you change me, I will live for you, and I will do whatever you want me to do." And then I added another prayer to it: "If you fail to change me, I am going to be your bitterest enemy in this city, and I am going to do everything I can to disturb the Christian ministry." And that's all I said. And I did not even say how to say amen. I just closed my eyes. And I just slept. I did not know where my fear went. I had a sound sleep. And early in the morning when I woke up, I knew I was different. How did I know I was different? Before that, when I went and met my friends, or when I woke up in the morning in my house, the very first thing that would come out of my mouth would be a vulgar greetings or curse words. As I said, I didn't say that yet. I had 4 brothers and 3 sisters. So all the 5 boys would be sleeping in one room, and the girls, and they would be in the other room. So when I woke up, I always woke up with a curse word. So my brothers, they would leave the room before I woke up. Yeah, I was a third. But when I woke up and said these ugly words, my eldest brother, oldest brother would say, "Dai, why do you yenda ipdi pesre? Unakke asingama illaya? Don't you feel ashamed of what you saw, talk or say?" And immediately I would slap my oldest brother. So what happened is that then they stopped talking to me. Nobody would say anything. Early in the morning they would get up and leave. But that morning, December 7, 1959, I woke up in my uncle's house. Not a single curse word came out of my mouth. When I found my friends, I used to say, it is not never good morning, good afternoon. It was always a curse word. But that morning, I was totally different. I could not say a word that was not right. And so, also that I felt some happiness in myself. And then I decided, I took a bath and then I decided, well, I must try something more. I want to find out if the change is real. So I went that day to 3 different houses. Because earlier on, if I went to a house, I would look around for valuable things. And whatever the valuable things are, by the time I left the house, it would be with me. And I did not know how I managed to do it, but I did that. But that day I went to 3 different homes. I could not, well, there were a lot of valuable things, but they did not look valuable to me. I did not have the mind even to touch or do anything. I knew that I was totally different. The Lord saved me. Hallelujah. And then that day I traveled to my own native place. And went into the church where the preacher was preaching. His name is Thomas. M.I. Thomas. And previously, you know, I had hit him with a stone and he still has a scar. And so I went into the church. He was preaching. You know, and as soon as he saw me, he became quiet. All those dances stopped. But I went and sat at the back. He was afraid that I was going to hurt him again. But I sat at the back. When he gave the altar call, I came to the altar. And I said, what all happened the previous day, I explained to him. And he told me, hey, you know what? He opened the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, half of the old things have gone away. A few of the things have become new. No, no, no. What he said to open the Bible and he said, behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. And he read that scripture and he said, this is exactly what has happened. You know, you prayed and Jesus has come into your heart. He has changed your life. And I said, how can he come into my heart? And how can he change me? Then he gave me an example. He took a glass of water and he said, what is this? What is in the glass? I said, water. And he poured it. What did I pour? I said, water. What else would it be? And he said, well, now I'm squeezing this tumbler or glass. Now what do I get? Well, still water. And then he threatened the tumbler. Hey, I'm going to break you. Now I want tea from this tumbler. And he poured it. It was not tea. It was still water. And he said, whatever you have inside only will come out. All these days you had those gods. You know, the god that our family deity was. I don't like to mention those names again, but this is a testimony. Lord Krishna. You know, Krishna was our family god. And Krishna used to do this. He would go and steal from houses. When he did that, they called it the play. My mother used to draw, I don't know what to say, the kolam, that is the feet of Lord Krishna. And they would have in the house curd and other things, so that butter. So this Lord Krishna would enter into the house and take the butter and drink the milk and go away. That's how they believed. So for him to walk, they would draw feet of God to come into the house. And so, when he did it, it was just a play. But when I did it, they called me a thief and they wanted to hit me. And there was another thing that he used to do. You know, girls would be in a swimming pool, swimming and bathing, and he would take all the clothes and go under. He would be on the tree hiding. And after the bathing, these girls would look for clothes and he would not find. And it would be with a guard. And when he does it, it is a play. But when I stand at a bus station, you know, in India, you don't just go on and take a girl, or dating or other things are not there during my time. It's changing a lot, okay? But if I just winked at a girl at the bus station, they would beat me and put me in prison for eavesdropping. So I said, hey, when he does it, it's a play. And now I'm doing exactly what my God does. But when I do it, I become a thief and a knee teaser and things like that. How is it? And that's what the pastor said. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Because he was within sight of you, you were doing exactly what he did. But Jesus, he's sinless. He's a holy God. He's a wonderful God. He's a God of love. Not that he has come. He wants you to be just like him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When Jesus comes into our hearts, he changes, transforms our lives. Amen. And from that day onwards, the Lord began to bless me. When I came home and said, Daddy, my life has changed. And he said, how? Well, I explained to him. I prayed to Jesus. And he immediately said, shut up. We do not want that name in this house. And I said, Daddy, my life has changed. Well, I don't care about life. I don't want that God's name to be mentioned in my house. Well, finally he said, either you give up that name or you are leaving this house. Well, I said, Daddy, all these days I brought so much of loss to you. But now I have changed my life. I'm not a thief anymore. And he said, I don't care about it. I don't want that name Jesus here. So he called all of his relatives, my relatives rather, and then he put me in a room and said, see, our son is dead. We have already done the cremation. Here are the ashes. And so they had all the other routine rites they had to do. And then they took the ashes to the river and said, well, he's gone. And then came to my house and opened that door and he said, now you get gone. You are no longer our son. So I went out. I was with the pastor for about 6 months. The pastor taught me the word of God and he kept me. And one day, on a Sunday service, he was preaching about Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. And he said, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. And then he pointed out to me and said, look at this boy. 6 months ago, he brought so much of loss to his father. There were complaints about him every day. And he's the one who hit me on my head. He's the one who did this and did this. But look at him. He's right in the front row worshiping Jesus. This is what Jesus does. Now 6 months my father did not hear anything about me, but he still loved me. And so he decided to find out if the change that I had was really true. And I did not know that he was sitting at the back row of the church when this message was going on. And when the altar call was given, my father was at the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then after the service, he came to me and said, hey son, do you want to come home? Hallelujah. The same one that said that I was dead and gone. I had been burnt or cremated without the ashes. This is what he told everybody. And he said, do you want to come home? I said, yes, I will. So I went home. And when we went home, my father was saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And my mother, she used to be so obedient to my father. She would never, ever say one word against my father. Whatever he says, she would say, yes, 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 yes. And she would not allow him to do any other home work like cleaning the house or washing the clothes, helping in the kitchen. Nothing she would allow. And so he would also not do. And if anything she wanted, immediately his hand would be like this. Hey, that's all. My mother would be quiet. But that day, You know what happened? I can still remember what happened. He comes home, the house was still not cleaned. He takes a broom and started cleaning the house. My mother came running, "Hey, this is not your work." And she pulled the broom from me. And then he went and started washing the clothes. She said, "Hey, this is not your work, come on." And then he said, for everything, he said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." My mother would never utter a word against my father until that time. But she said, "Hey, did you join that group of praise the Lord, hallelujah, kutam? Hallelujah. Oh, no, 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 not in this house." And she started shouting. Previously, if she had shouted like this at my father, things would be so different. But then on that day, when she said anything, my father simply said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You know, that really boggled her mind. Is this my husband? You mean, is this the one that my husband? I know, she thought like that. For the whole week it was like that. Sunday morning, when I and my father got ready to church, I just asked mommy, "Mother, do you want to come to the church?" She said, "Yeah, if you all go, why can't I?" So she came to the church. And she sat down, and when he came back, I asked, "How was it?" "I don't like that. It is none like our Krishna." So we did not talk anything about it. But the next week, when my father and I started going to church, we did not ask my mother. But she said, "Can I come?" I said, "Yes, you can come." That day, she got saved. Hallelujah. And within 8 months, the entire family got saved. Hallelujah. Now two of us in our family are pastors. I am a pastor. My younger brother is a pastor. And everyone is involved in the ministry in some way. God has transformed our lives. Hallelujah. He looked at my life one day and said, "Pratap, Pratap." Well, in India, they call me Pratap Singh. But here for the, to make it easy for the people here, I said Pratap. Okay. Well, there also there is a meaning. Pratap Singh. Pray on the top of the mountain and sing. Okay. So he said, I'll put it this way. My name is Pratap Singh, means a brave lion. Pratap is brave and Singh is lion. But the way I lived and the way I looked, nobody called me brave lion or Pratap Singh. They used to call me Paridaba Singh. I don't know if you understand Paridaba. Paridaba means, oh, poor fellow. No. Poor thing, poor thing. So that's what they used to call me. So the Lord Jesus, on the day when he saw me, when I gave my heart to him, he said, "Pratap Singh, you shall not be Paridaba Singh anymore. You shall be Pratap Singh." Hallelujah. Oh, he changed my life totally and completely. And then when he called me into the ministry, the very second day I got saved, on the 7th of December, 8th of December, he baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I did not know what the Holy Spirit was. I was just inside the church and people were clapping and they were speaking in tongues. I was watching, "Hey, what is this?" I did not even know what it is. And all of a sudden the pastor said, "Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." I did not know what the Holy Spirit, but I started talking in tongues. I was dancing, I was doing all sorts of things. And by the time I went home, I was still talking in tongues. It was beautiful, it was beautiful. And the 13th of December, even before my father or anybody got saved, God called me into the ministry. He said, "I want you to be, I call you into my ministry." And so after 6 months, after my father and mother got saved, I went to the Bible school where Dora P. Myers was my principal. She was in Lee College also. And from that time onwards, the Lord has been so, so gracious to me. The reason that I've been sharing this testimony was not just to give a testimony, but to let you know, hallelujah, that our God is a God of transformation. Amen. Hallelujah. He would take somebody so timid and he would make him into a blessing that he would run to his brother and to say to him, I have seen the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. He would take someone like as grass or just like sand, and he would transform him into such a thing that he would preach one sermon and 3,000 people would get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. This evening, along with my testimony in the scripture, I want you to know that this evening is the night of transformation in our own lives. There are things that need to be transformed in our lives here. Hallelujah. I like the song that he sang, Old Rugged Cross. What is the end of it? I'm going to exchange it. Yeah. What am I going to exchange for a crown? The rugged cross. Okay. Now God has an exchange. In India we have got an exchange mela. What do you call exchange mela? Trading. Right? You take some old things. Well, you took your truck in and changed it for a new one, right? Okay, trading. Okay, in India they call it an exchange mela. You know what they say? Bring your cycle, bicycle. Why do you have to be on a bicycle? See, you are worth enough to be on a big motorcycle. Just bring that old bicycle and get a motorcycle. You don't have to pay anything for the next 3 months. Just bring it. You're so paridavam. You feel poor you. Why are you on the bicycle? You've got a personality. You should be like this on the bike. So you come there and give your old bicycle and sign the papers and take a big bike and go. And 3 months you don't pay, and the fourth month you forgot to pay. And the fifth month, he brings people to your door and say, you need a bike? Look at you. Can't even pay your first installment. And you need a bike. They take it away from you. But this evening, praise God, there is an exchange mela here. Hallelujah. And he says, you poor you. Come in and leave your sadness here. Take the joy. Hallelujah. Bring your sins here and take the purity of your life. Bring your weakness and leave it here. Take the strength away from me. Hallelujah. I got a whole table full of what all you need. Hallelujah. Just bring what you have and leave it here and take what I have for you. Hallelujah. And when I take it, and he doesn't say after 3 months, hey, come on. No. He says, how are you? How is it that I had given unto you? I tell you, the salvation, the joy that I have received 43 years ago is getting better and better and better. Amen. Hallelujah. The salvation that I have received is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Everything that I have received from him is always getting better. Hallelujah. I tell you, 43 years ago on the day that the Lord called me, and then when I went to the Bible school, I learned a beautiful chorus that I sang 43 years ago. And although it is 43 years ago, it's still new to me. And I'm going to ask my professor to please help me. And I want, well, of course, you may know that song, and so you can join with me. Praise God.
Ven Yesuvai sevika thirmanithen sevai seiven inda logathin inbam en pinthallinen sevai seiven எங்கேயும் அவரை பின் செல்வேன் எங்கேயும் அவர் மேய்ச்சல் பெறுவேன். இயேசுவை சேவிக்க தீர்மானித்தேன், சேவை செய்வேன். I am determined and made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I leave this world and its pleasures behind, I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leadeth, and pasture wherever He feedeth. I am determined and made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I am determined and made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I leave this world and its pleasures behind, I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leadeth, and pasture wherever He feedeth. I am determined and made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord.
43 years. It's been 43 years ago I sang that song. And my decision till is the same. Hallelujah. I am determined and I have made up my mind that I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. This evening, through this testimony, I think God is speaking to you also this evening. It may not be the way that we serve the Lord, or not everything, everyone being a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle or whatever. But God has called each one of us to go and tell someone that I have seen the Messiah. Because once you have seen the Messiah, you just can never be quiet with the knowledge that you already have received of Messiah. Why did they say Messiah? Why did he say that he had seen the Messiah? Because the whole day when he spent time with Jesus, he not only saw what was happening, there was healing taking place, there was salvation taking place, there was the hand of God touching the people. Needs are being met. People with sadness are being made joyful. They saw everything that was happening in that one day, and that made them say to the world that we have seen the Messiah. I challenge you this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This comes to you as a challenge. Will we together tell the whole world, we have seen not just the Lamb of God? Many times we are very, very satisfied to tell the world that we have seen the Lamb of God. Oh, He's more than just the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He's the Messiah.